Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
You can stay seated, but just close your eyes and pray again for a moment. Father, we know that you are the God who wants to reveal more and more of yourself to us. And we pray this morning for a revelation of the truth of who you are and what you have done for us, that we might live in the good of that truth. Lord, we want you to take us as a people, as a congregation, to a higher place with you as a result of what you do in us today. Lord, we want to break through into new dimensions of your Spirit, because we take hold of the word that you speak to us, believe it, and act upon it. So we thank you for the fresh and precious anointing of your Holy Spirit upon every one of us now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I haven't been here for several weeks because every weekend I've been away preaching. I've had several weeks of very rich ministry and anointing, both here in the college and with the team and wherever I've been. God is doing a new thing. And part of the reason for that is what he's been causing me to speak and the way I've actually been meeting and encountering him myself personally. That always has an impact on a person's ministry. I'll come more to that a little later on. There's a sense in which I've been longing for this opportunity to share some things with you for several weeks, because God has been building up this revelation within me. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1. Because this morning I'm going to talk about the gospel. I'll tell you why in a moment. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I have been concerned whenever I've come across unbelief. And sometimes I come across that within the context of Kingdom Faith. It may be that there's unbelief, a lack of faith for God to provide. It may be that a person needs to come into a place of faith in order to receive healing from God. It may be that there's some other kind of need. And what can be aware of is there isn't really the faith and the trust and the confidence in God to see that need met. And this has caused me such concern that obviously I've gone to God in prayer about this. And several weeks ago, the Lord showed me the problem was not really that people didn't have faith for finances, for healing, for the meeting of a need, but something much more basic than that was wrong. And that was that they were not living by faith in the gospel, in the essential truth of the gospel. That people know the gospel, but that does not necessarily mean that in the circumstances of their lives, they apply the gospel. And this has been a message that has been building up within me over these weeks. And I've been preaching it wherever I've gone. We had a very powerful time, the team conference here in September. And then at the beginning of October, a tremendous release among the students. This is, we've only had 3 weeks of term, but I've never seen a group of students in our college so released after 3 weeks as the present group of students. God is doing something immense. Isn't that right? Now, you see, you should all be making noises like that. If you were released, you will. So by the end of the meeting, we'll have everybody doing that kind of thing. And wherever I've gone, God has brought release. Various churches, sometimes in towns and cities where people have come together, all the churches have come together, in pastors' meetings and leaders' meetings, I've been really preaching this same message, that we can know the gospel and still not live in the full good of it. We can know the gospel and still not apply the basic principles in the daily circumstances of our lives, especially when something untoward takes place, something unexpected. And what God wants is for us to have such a grasp of the essential truth of the gospel that we always live in the good of it. No matter what happens or what is happening to us or what is happening around us, we react in a gospel way. Because, of course, the gospel is the truth, and it's the truth about Jesus Christ. So if we don't react in a gospel way, we're not reacting according to the truth, and we're not reacting according to the way that Jesus wants us to react. So really, when you think about it, it's pretty obvious. So I'm going to begin this morning by reminding you of some things you know. But the real question is not whether you know them, but whether you are applying these truths to the way you think, the way you speak, the way you act, and the way in which you relate to others. All four of those things are essential if we're to live in the gospel. Now, Paul is saying in this verse, a righteousness, a new form of righteousness, has come from God as a gift. A gift that can only be received and appropriated by faith. And it's a matter of faith from first to last. Now, of course, that righteousness has only been made possible because of what Jesus did on the cross. Now, we're a fairly well-taught congregation, so we know well what Jesus did on the cross. But the question is, are we living in the good of that cross? Or let me put that a little bit more personally. Are you living fully in the good of the cross? What did Jesus do when he went to the cross? You understand that I'm going to have to go fairly quickly and paraphrase a whole lot of things just to get the essence of the message across to you this morning. We know he took all our sin upon himself. He took all our fear, every negative, all oppression, all rejection, all affliction, all sickness, every possible thing that it is possible for us to experience, Jesus took upon himself on the cross. And if we read the great prophecy about the cross in Isaiah 53, we will see that. No negative that we can experience was left out. He was even crushed that we may be made whole. And it says in the scripture there that it was God's will to crush him. Difficult for us to understand how great the love of God must be for us that it was his will to crush his son for your benefit. For his son to be beaten and rejected and crucified, because that was the punishment that you deserved. What God was doing in the cross was demonstrating to all mankind the punishment we deserve. But Jesus was bearing that punishment for us in order that we might not have to be punished in the way we deserve. What we see, therefore, on the cross is God's just, holy judgment upon sin. This is the way that sin had to be judged, by the death of a guilty one. Except, of course, that Jesus was not guilty. But the guilt he was bearing was our guilt. Now we know all this. So how is this to affect our lives every day? Well, let's begin with our thinking. If I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, one who has been forgiven of his sins, one who now lives in Christ, with Christ living in me, not because I'm a preacher, but because I'm a Christian. If that is true for me, then all my sin has been forgiven. Every sin in my life has been forgiven. And if there has been any sin that I have committed since the time when I was born again, and I have confessed that sin, God has forgiven. Now, what does that mean? It means the sin no longer exists. That God has washed it away like the morning mist before the rising sun. He says that it just disappears, it evaporates like the morning mist. It means that he has removed my sin from me as far as east is from west. It means, as the scripture says, that he has put my sin behind his back and will never ever look at it again. He will never count it against me. He will never punish me for it. He will never withhold any of his gifts from me because of any sin in my life, because the punishment has been paid. But I come across people who think and speak, well, perhaps God is withholding because of past sin. That is a travesty of the gospel. It is a complete denial of the cross and of all that the Savior has accomplished for us. Perish the thought. You may have sinned, but God will never withhold your healing from you because of sin that is forgiven and no longer exists. That's why the scripture said the punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. There could be no healing without the removing of the punishment. And the punishment was paid not by you, but by Jesus 2,000 years ago. God will not withhold any of his promises from you because of what you have done. Once you are forgiven, you are free. The only one who wants you to disbelieve that is the devil. And the devil can use different mouths. He can even use the mouths of Christians who are not walking in the revelation of the truth. What does the devil do? Well, he accuses the brethren. Not people out there. They don't need any accusation. They're already condemned until they get saved. But he accuses the brethren. Now, wait a minute. If I'm forgiven, I can stand holy, righteous, blameless before God, and he has nothing to accuse me of. Amen. If I am forgiven, how can the devil accuse me? If you are forgiven, how can the devil accuse you? Because he's accusing you of what doesn't exist. That's why he is both the accuser and the liar. You see, the devil wants to try to undermine your faith that you are completely, totally, freely, and forever forgiven. He accuses. Why? Because accusation is an attempt to make you feel condemned. Now, you know that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But why do Christians quote that so often? Because many of them are fighting feelings of condemnation. Why are they fighting feelings of condemnation? Because they're listening to accusation. You failed. You sinned. God won't do this because. But the because is always getting you to look back or look in upon yourself instead of to look to Jesus, to look to what he has done, to look to who he is, to look to what he has accomplished. You see, the devil accuses you because he wants you to become your focus instead of Jesus. He wants to try to make you feel condemned, although Jesus Christ has dealt with everything that could ever make you condemned. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Is everybody breathing here this morning? But he is not only the accuser, he is the deceiver. So with the accusation goes deception. God won't heal you because. God won't provide for you because. God won't meet this need in your life because. And the because is always something to do with you. Whereas actually, God will never heal you because of you, but only because of him. Yes. He will never provide for you because of you, but only because of him. He will never meet the need in your life, not because of you, but because of him. My God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So where are we to keep the focus? We are to keep the focus on the glory that is in Christ Jesus. So the devil says, get your eyes off the glory, get your eyes off the victory, get your eyes off Jesus, get your eyes off what he has fulfilled on the cross, get your eyes on yourself, look at your failure, look at your track record, look how often you have failed the Lord. Do you really think he will heal you? Do you really think he will provide for you? Do you really think he will meet that need? He is a liar. He is the father of all lies. And we're not going to listen to his lies. The one who lives in us is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus has promised he will guide us into all the truth. In other words, he will take the things of Jesus and declare them to us. That's what the Lord himself says. So what does he want to do? In every situation, he will take the things of Jesus. He will take the cross. He will take the victory he has won. He will take everything that he has accomplished and he will declare it to us. Yeah. It is done. Yeah. It is finished. Yeah. It is accomplished. Yeah. Everything that is necessary for your victory. So as we've been seeing in recent months, Jesus is our righteousness. We don't have to try to create a righteousness of our own because Jesus is my righteousness. If Jesus is my righteousness, I can stand before you today fully righteous in the sight of God, fully righteous in your sight because he is my righteousness. I don't claim any righteousness of my own, but he is my righteousness. I can stand holy before you and say, he is my holiness. He is my redemption. He is my life. He is my victory. Hallelujah. Why? Because all sin, all failure, all fear, all doubt is washed away by faith in what he has done for me. I'm a believer. I said, I'm a believer. Are you a believer? Are you a believer? I don't mean half a believer, but are you a believer? See, I don't see every lip moving. I see these guys all excited because they've been living in this revelation for the last 3 weeks. The devil's got no claim on you. He's got no right to any part or portion of your life. Of course, if there's any unconfessed sin that is present in your life now, then you had better repent of that, turn away from that sin this morning, and God will renew the gift of his righteousness. Because if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we know that just because God is so merciful and so gracious, this does not give us any liberty to go and sin deliberately because we know he will forgive us. That is a complete denial of the real significance and meaning of his grace and mercy. But why is God so merciful to us? Well, there is this verse that keeps cropping up throughout the Old Testament because it speaks of the nature of God. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. See, it's his nature to be compassionate. It's his nature to be merciful. If that was not his nature, none of us would be here. Because God would have judged us for our sin instead of judging Jesus for our sin. And if he judged us for our sin, then we would all deserve to be crucified. Are we breathing? So he's compassionate. He's always willing to have mercy. That's why his mercies are new every morning. And what does he say? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Yeah. Now, we can rejoice in the complete liberty that this God gives to us through his mercy and through his grace. Through his unfailing love and faithfulness, slow to anger, rich in love. However, we had better watch out because Jesus gives us a warning. He says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. But if you withhold your mercy from others, God will withhold his mercy from you. And that's what he says in the parable of the unmerciful servant. The servant who was not prepared to be merciful to his fellow servant had the debt that he had owed his master restored. And Jesus said he would be tortured until the last penny was paid. My beloved friend, don't put yourself back in a place of torture because you refuse to forgive and to be merciful to others. What else does Jesus warn us about? Well, he says, judge not, lest you be judged. For with the same judgment with which you judge others, you will yourself be judged. Now, it doesn't make any sense to me for God to go to the lengths of causing his son to be crucified to deliver me from judgment if I was then to go and place myself back under judgment by judging others. Just as it would be crazy for me to rejoice so much in his mercy if I was not prepared to be merciful to others, so it would be just as crazy for me to rejoice that I've been spared the judgment I deserve only to go and place myself back under judgment because I judged others. Yeah. Yeah. So God has done an immense and perfect work for us in all that he's done for Jesus. Every negative thought, attitude, word, and action is going to be erased from this congregation. Amen. There will be no judgment. There will be no accusations. There will be nobody in this church doing the devil's work for him. Yeah. We have got important business to do in the name of Jesus. And I'm not going to stand by and see it undermined by people accusing others, judging others, speaking against others, being critical of others. Oh, you might think it will never come to light if you've done it quietly, behind closed doors, secretly, speaking people behind their back. But let me tell you, nothing is behind God's back except your sin that is forgiven. He sees everything else. And what God is laying on my heart is that this morning this church is going to move into a whole new place with God because we are going to eradicate from our lives completely any sense of criticism and judgment of one another. Why? Because that undermines the gospel. And it's no use us thinking, well, that person deserves to be judged or criticized. Look what they've done wrong, because God doesn't treat you like that. God has never accused you. Neither will he ever accuse you of anything. If you sin, the Holy Spirit will convict you. But the purpose of conviction, that's not accusation. That's making you aware of something not being right between you and God or between you and someone else so that you might then put that right. But he will never accuse you. That's the devil's work. So accusation doesn't belong in our lives. We're not going to speak it. We're not going to be critical or judgmental. Neither are we going to listen to anybody else who is. Because if you listen to somebody else who does any of those things, you become a party to what they are doing. Do you remember the covenant we have with one another? We will forgive one another. We would defend one another. I mean, you defend your brother, you defend your sister against anyone who accuses or speaks against them. You rise up in their defense. You say, I'm not going to listen. You're talking about my brother, you're talking about my sister. I'm not listening to that stuff. I'm not going to become party to it. I'm talking about the gospel. You see, it's liberating. Amen. So long as we not only believe what he has done for us, but we then outwork that towards others. And there's one other warning that God gives us in Scripture. And that is, never dare to criticize those he has placed in spiritual authority over you. Do you realize if you dare to criticize me, scripturally speaking, you are in rebellion against God. If you dare to criticize Pastor Clive and their elders or those that God places over you, you are in rebellion against God. Not against us, but against God. Because, you see, what criticism of those whom God has put in place, what the Scripture teaches us is this, that is tantamount to criticizing God, saying, God, you shouldn't be using that person. God, you shouldn't have put those people in leadership over us. God, I could have done a better job. Are you hearing me? If anybody wants to be critical, go and find some other church to be critical in. But don't you bring your spirit of criticism and rebellion here. Because nothing could undermine more what God is wanting to do. A little leaven affects the whole lump. And what God has shown me about today is all the bad leaven is going to leave this church today.
Amen.
Not because people are going to leave, but because we're going to get it out of our spirits. We're going to get it out of our hearts. We're going to get it out of our minds. We're going to get it out of our lives.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't have to be right about everything. It's just that God has put me in that place and I represent his authority. I represent his name, as does Pastor Clive and the other leaders. We don't even claim to be right about everything, but God help anybody who criticizes us. Because until you repent, you're in rebellion. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and we're not having any witchcraft spirit in this church. Am I making myself clear?
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah. Now let's have some more good news. All right, it's good news to get rid of all this stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
Because can you see, if there are any of those negatives in your heart, something is wrong with your heart. If the judgment is there, if the criticism is there, if accusation is there, it's not that the situation is wrong, it's your heart. Jesus says, nothing outside a man defiles a man, but only that which comes from within, from his heart. If there's accusation, it's because that's in his heart. If there's criticism, it's in the person's heart. If there's judgment, it's because that's what's in the person's heart. If there's rebellion, it's because that's what's in the person's heart. But what did David pray? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. Amen. Now, why is it so important for us to get all this sorted out this morning? Whatever needs to be sorted out. I mean, I don't know what's going on in the heart and life of every one of you, but God does, and if he lays this on my heart to say this morning, then he knows there's things to be addressed. But why? Back in September, I saw the Lord in a way in which I'd never seen him before. Now, when you're in leadership and you have a sovereign meeting with God, it's usually not just for your benefit, but for the benefit of everybody else that you're leading. And when I had this encounter with the Lord one morning, I recognized immediately this is going to have far-reaching repercussions for the whole of Kingdom Faith. This is why we need to get everything in our lives sorted this morning so that we can keep up with what God is about to do. I've seen the Lord in many kinds of ways, but never before as the mighty warrior. I've tried to describe what he looked like, but it's impossible. The nearest I can say is that it was as if he was covered in armor, but there was no armor. Doesn't make any sense, does it? I understand, you know, how John had such a problem to try to describe what he was seeing, the book of Revelation. He kept saying, well, it was like this, and well, it was like that. How can you put these spiritual things into words? But it's what he did that was so important, because he was enormous. I mean, this figure was towering above me. And what I knew is that nothing could come against him and prevail. You just knew that nothing could penetrate his defenses. And there was this mighty arm that it just swept down, picked me up, and clasped me to his chest. And all he said at that moment was, "You are under my protection. Whoever comes against you comes against me." Well, that's a word that God has often spoken to me over the years, because if you're in leadership like I've been, people often come against you. And you learn not to defend yourself, but to trust in the Lord. He is my protection. He is my shield. But you know, I've been in the book of Psalms and in recent weeks, and there, one of the ways in which David constantly refers to the Lord as being his refuge. And when I looked into this, the Hebrew means literally stronghold. But you see, as I was there, I was in his stronghold. I was literally in his stronghold. Now, during subsequent days, God, this vision kept reappearing, and God kept speaking through it. And this played a significant part in the team conference, and again in the first week of term. Because what the Lord said is that as the mighty warrior, he is going to go before us in kingdom faith. I was trusting by now we might have a spirit of faith moving, that he is going to go before us as the mighty warrior. But listen. It isn't that we've got to just sort of sit back and wait for him to do something. Because he says, he will go before us, but it's only as we move that he will move. And what he said was that we had to move ahead in unity. That's why anything that divides us, any criticism, any judgment, any accusation, any of that stuff, it's got to go. Because that is divisive. And we have got to go forward in unity. And I'll show you what that means. I've been reading a book recently about the Roman legions and about their strategy in warfare. Quite interesting, really. You know, I occasionally read something like that, which is completely different from all the super spiritual reading. But, you know, it's amazing how God uses these things. And if I can just explain, the legions used to terrify their enemies. And they would terrify their enemies because of the way they marched relentlessly forward in unity. And, of course, there would have been hundreds of thousands of them, really. But if you can imagine a long line of these Roman soldiers, and they would advance, they would be shoulder to shoulder. There would not be any gap in the line, because nothing must be allowed to get through the line and behind them to stab them in the back. So they were shoulder to shoulder, and they marched forward relentlessly. And as they went to engage the enemy, they would have their shield in one hand and their sword in the other. And they would bang their swords against their shields, making this terrible racket just to put fear into the enemy. If the enemy had archers and were firing arrows at them, then they would all raise their shields above them like this to make an almost impenetrable barrier, so the arrows would just come into the shields. If an arrow got through and any of them fell, then the person in the rank behind would immediately come into the front rank so that the line was never broken. And they would, despite the arrows or whatever, they would march forward relentlessly. And the cavalry they would have on the flanks to guard the flanks to stop anybody getting in behind them. This was their battle strategy. And you see, I can remember using this analogy many, many years ago when I was a pastor in a church. Say, this is how we must go forward. This is why we are in covenant with one another. We will not allow anybody or anything to come in with anything negative that will stab us in the back. We are not going to allow anything to get through this impenetrable unity that we have in Christ. And we're going to march forward. Now, the Lord said He will go before us as we march forward. If we just sort of stand there and say, we're waiting for you to move, God said, well, I'm not. I'm not going to move until you move. Rather like He's the bow of the ship. And if the ship moves, the bow breaks through the ice, breaks through the water, breaks through whatever is there. So the ship has to be propelled. And we, as a people, are going to be propelled forward in the purposes of God. But He is going to go before us. He is going to open up the way. He is going to break through, because He is the God of breakthrough. Amen. But He is going before us as the mighty warrior. He will fight for us. You know, there's a scripture that says we're to stand still and let the Lord fight for us. Amen. Just listen to a couple of scriptures about the mighty warrior. Oh, hallelujah. Are you still there? The Lord will march out like a mighty man. Like a warrior, He will stir up His zeal. With a shout, He will raise the battle cry and will triumph over His enemies. Oh, I'm happy I'm held in the stronghold of the mighty warrior. I'm happier that we as a people are following in the wake, that He's going before us. We are going to see progress. We are going to see the fulfillment of everything He has said. We are going to see harvest. We're going to see abundance, because the Lord of the harvest is the mighty warrior, and the Lord of the harvest is going before us. Everybody shout hallelujah. I said everybody shout hallelujah. Come on, you need to release that faith in you. Praise God. And you see, the Lord will fight for us. Listen what He says. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fall and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. You see, that's what happens. We don't have to fight for ourselves. The Lord goes before us to do that. Why? Because our faith is in Him. Our trust is in Him. Okay, beloved, so we're going to pray in a moment. And we're going to do three things. We're going to thank God for the truth of the gospel, for all that God has done for us. And every person in this room can lay hold of the fullness of that forgiveness. And you can know that you are completely, freely, and forever forgiven for every sin that has ever been committed in your life, every failure, every negative thing of which you have been guilty. God is going to cause you to be guiltless and blameless in His eyes this morning before you receive communion. Because we commemorate the blood that cleansed us from all our sins. The sacrifice of the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. He's taken your sin away. It's evaporated like the morning mist. It is behind His back. It is removed as far from you as east is from west. Hallelujah! You are completely, freely, and forever forgiven! And He is your righteousness. So then, we're going to make sure that there's no devil's work going on in our hearts and minds. No accusation. No unforgiveness. No judgment. No matter how justified we feel in reacting like that towards others. All those negatives are eradicated from our life before we leave this place this morning. Yes. Or before we dare to receive Holy Communion. Because this is our covenant meal. And we are in covenant with one another. So we forgive one another. We honor one another. We defend one another. We love one another. We uphold one another. So isn't it good that God is going to cleanse your heart this morning out of any of that stuff? This church is going to live by the gospel. Not just know it and preach it. We're going to live by the gospel. And if anybody doesn't, it's going to be so obvious to anybody, they will come under conviction. Amen. Then thirdly, we're going to receive from the Lord. Because you see, what God has shown me is that some of you have been listening to those negatives, the way the devil's accused you. Or some of you have been, well, let's dress it up. You've been guilty of judging and criticizing others. So, you know, God's dealing with that. But then that's going to open the way. Because the punishment that brought you peace was laid upon Him. God is not going to punish you. He's not withholding anything from you. But you see, when you know you're forgiven, that gives you confidence before God. And what the scripture says, if we have confidence before God, then we know that we receive from Him whatever we ask. Yes. So just to know that we've got all this stuff dealt with is going to give us confidence, and we're going to ask God, and He's going to release that which we ask of Him into our lives. Some of that may happen spontaneously and immediately. Some of it may happen as you receive the bread and the wine this morning. Some of it may happen subsequently as you just begin to walk in faith and to move forward in your personal faith with the mighty warrior going before you and giving you the breakthrough victory that you need personally. But last week, I was sorry to miss the exhibition. I hear it was a great time. But you see, that is the church that is moving forward in unity and moving out in the name of Jesus to win the world for the gospel. And you see, what the world needs is the gospel.
That's right.
So, you know, the Lord says, don't just preach it, live it.
Yes.
And we see a regular trickle of people being saved and coming to know the Lord. But that's not harvest. And what the Lord said to me, I've been saying, Lord, Lord, you've been promising us harvest. And I believe that we were going to see the beginning of that harvest by the end of the year. And the Lord said to me, well, all you've got to do is live the gospel and you'll see the harvest. If you just speak it, if you just preach it, if you just know it but don't live it, you won't see the harvest. But if everybody starts living the gospel, you'll see the harvest. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So, you see, it's not just, am I prepared to be obedient? And am I prepared to be the person of faith, trusting in Jesus? The souls of people out there depend upon our obedience and upon our faithfulness and upon us being prepared to move forward together in unity so that the Lord will go before us and He will produce the harvest because He is the Lord of the harvest. Amen. So then we will finish off by just agreeing together that as one, indivisible, we are going to go with the mighty warrior. Yes. And he is going to go before us. Yes. And we are going to see the victory. Yes. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Oh, hallelujah. Are you excited? Well, still, it's only the students that are excited. But we'll get everybody excited in a few minutes. Okay, just close your eyes. This is joyful business, but it's serious business. I want you to thank the Lord first that all the sins that you have ever confessed in the past are completely forgiven. Now, come on, you could be more thankful than that. I want you to be thankful. That he has removed those sins from you. He has removed the guilt of those sins. He will never hold them against you. He will never judge you or condemn you for what he has forgiven. There'll be no mention of them on the day of judgment because they no longer exist. God treats you as if those things had never taken place. Now, I want you to really thank him for that because that's what it means to know you are forgiven. Thank the Lord that he bore your punishment. That he will never punish you for what he has forgiven. Hallelujah. And he will certainly never punish anybody else because of what he's forgiven in your life. So come on, really thank him. Thank him for that complete, complete freedom that that forgiveness gives you. Hallelujah. And if there is any unconfessed sin, anything that's going on in your life now that you know is not in accordance with God's will, then you ask for forgiveness now. But don't just ask for forgiveness. Agree with him that you repent. That means you turn away from that sin. You give that sin up this morning. Now, it may be that that will include the way you have spoken against others, the way you have judged, the way you have condemned others, where you have spoken against them, spoken behind their backs, gossiped. It's serious to do that about anybody. It's even more serious to do it about someone who belongs to the same body of which you're a part. So just deal with these things now. Let God deal with you. Let him create in you a clean heart and put a right spirit within you. The
The blood of Jesus is there and covers all these sins. And thank God that instead of these negatives, He has poured His love into your heart by the Holy Spirit. And His command is that we love one another as He has loved us. So why don't you thank Him now that He has given you that love, and you're going to express that love in the body here? You're going to be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And when issues arise in the future, you're not going to judge, you're not going to criticize, you're not going to condemn, you're not going to speak against anybody, but you're going to be merciful, you're going to be gracious, you're going to forgive. If people start to speak to you about a brother or sister in Christ, you're going to defend them as a covenant responsibility that you have. You're not going to listen to any accusations or lies of the enemy. Hallelujah. Now thank the Lord that, like those Roman soldiers, you have the shield of faith with which you can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, and you have the sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God. So thank the Lord that you are not going to listen. You have the shield of faith. You're not going to listen to any accusation from the devil. You're not going to listen to any of his lies. You're not going to listen to any of his deception. Any attempt to get your eyes off Jesus and onto yourself, you take the shield of faith against all that nonsense right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know, but God just laid it on my heart to cover this morning. But if there is anybody here that has been critical about the leadership, about those who are in authority over them, then for goodness sake, put that right now before God. We don't want that rebellious sin of witchcraft here. We don't want any of that stuff undermining the unity and the purpose of God. And don't just counteract the negative, but express the positive. Thank God for your life group leader. Thank God for the leaders here in the congregation. Thank God for the leaders in Kingdom Faith. Thank God for the elders. Yeah, you even have to thank God for your apostle, because you're in a bad state if you don't. Hallelujah. But just thank God. He knows what He's doing. He raises up who He chooses to raise up. Hallelujah. Just sort of affirm before God, Lord, we're going to move forward in unity. I'm going to go forward with those who are leading the way. You have raised them up to have a prophetic insight as to your purposes. You have given them the anointing to lead. And I recognize, Lord, that's not the anointing on my life. You have placed the anointing on their life to lead. So I'm going to get behind them. I'm going to affirm them. I'm going to support them. I'm going to be at one of them. I'm going to encourage them. And I'm not going to listen to any negatives about them. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, even if I think sometimes they're wrong, I'm still going to affirm them. I'm still going to defend them. I'm still going to be with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now just be still. See, the Lord is manifesting His presence. If you're one of those people that have thought God has withheld healing or provision or the answer to some need because there's something wrong or your past, or just thank him that he doesn't punish you like that. God doesn't behave like that. He would not be just if he did. He would be denying the blood of his son if he did. He would never do that. So right now, thank God that there is no impediment to you taking hold of your inheritance in Christ. Now, forgiveness is part of that inheritance. Healing is part of that inheritance. Provision is part of that inheritance. So you just lay hold of whatever it is you need. Be like Paul the Apostle, forgetting what lies behind. You're reaching out for that which lies ahead. You want to take hold of everything for which Christ Jesus took hold of you. So come on, reach out. Just reach up your arms now to the Lord. Reach out and take hold of everything for which he's taken hold of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Potaparazata parasiturisatuba. Basta karasituba. Hallelujah. You take hold of that healing. You take hold of that provision. You take hold of the promises of God. Whatever he's promised you, thank him now that he's faithful to those promises. That you are going to see every promise he's ever given you fulfilled. That he's not a man that he would lie. And he will not withhold anything that he's promised. He wouldn't have promised it to you if it was his plan to withhold it. So he's not going to withhold anything that he's promised. So in the name of Jesus, we just speak the release of that which God has promised to every person here, individually and personally. And we speak release of that which he has promised us as a body, as a church, as a people of God. We speak the release of that harvest in the name of Jesus. That as we move forward with the mighty warrior, with the Lord of the harvest, we are going to see harvest time begin. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, take hold. Take hold of the abundance. Come on, God wants abundance. We need abundance in Kingdom Faith, not just personally. I mean, you know, never mind what's happening in the world around. God is not conditioned by what is happening in the world. Hallelujah. He is still the God of abundance. And the stock market may have gone down, banks may be in trouble, but the Lord isn't in trouble. And his stocks have not gone down. Hallelujah. Come on, just lay hold of that which is part of your inheritance now in Christ. Pota parazata parasitu disatuba. Basta karasitu disatuba karasanduma. And Lord, we take hold of that which we need for not just to survive, but for the development and the growth of the work here at Kingdom Faith. We take hold of everything, Lord. And we believe that you will honor the unity that exists here this morning. Because where there is unity, you command the blessing. Hallelujah. So we speak that every barrier that there has been that has divided us is pulled down in the name of Jesus. And the mighty warrior goes before us. And he will fight for us. And he will break through for us. And we give you glory, Lord. We give you honor. We give you praise. We bless your wonderful name. Come on, it's time for everybody to shout their praises to God. Hallelujah. 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 Baratapara. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Potaparazatapara zitoba. Oh. Just turn to at least five people around you and say, I'm free.
I'm free. Now, wait a minute. I didn't say, turn to each other and say, I'm free. I said, turn to one another and say, I'm free. Come on. If you believe it, you will speak it. Now turn to them again and say, I can make just as much noise as those students. Thank God your past is behind you, which is where it belongs. And you have a glorious future in front of you. Are you ready to break bread? Father, we thank you so much that this is the sacrament of your victory. The way you chose to remind us of the victory that you have won for us on the cross. We thank you that on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat. This is my body, now I've stopped there because the Spirit says he's not only saying that over this bread, he's saying that over this congregation. This is my body. This is my body. And he is supplying all the virtue, all the life, all the power of his body for his body. Come on, you're going to receive from God all that you need to fulfill your part in his body. And likewise, after supper, he took the cup. He gave you thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Just thank the Lord that you are going to receive the full virtue of that blood this morning. Hallelujah. You receive it afresh. You affirm that truth afresh. Praise God. Praise God. Let's have the servers forward. Let's have the musicians forward. Listen, this isn't a quiet, you know, there's different ways to have communion. You know, some people like that nice quiet holy moment. This is a noisy holy moment. This is a time when we're going to rejoice in the victory. And so as you pray for one another, you can just say, live in the victory of Christ's body. Live in the victory of Christ's blood. Or something like that. But make this a glorious time. Amen. Okay, let's go, guys.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.